Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Morning.
Good morning. It's Running Commentary. We're in Victoria Park. I've just got my envelope of 10K. You're one step ahead of me because you've put your
chip on. I'm chipped and numbered.
And also you've delayed a little
bit,
haven't you?
Up. Yeah,
I'm numbered up. It's quite nippy, but good nippy.
Yeah, it's quite nippy. It's fresh this morning. I think there's going to be about 300 people in the 10K.
It's quintessentially autumnal, isn't it? It's like limpid and cool,
yeah,
quite dim,
nice,
but the sun's up sort of low in the sky.
Wet underfoot.
How do you feel?
I feel okay. I had a bit of a hamstring twinge on Tuesday when I was on Tuesday track, so I need to stretch it a little bit. But I'm hoping okay. I've done a few runs. I was in Stoke last night doing a gig. Not ideal, but I got to bed at one. I had like 6.5 hours sleep. I can't complain.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah, I'm
good.
Looking forward to it. Yeah. How about you? How's your...
This morning I went to get on the train and there weren't any trains, so I thought, I'll get a drive now. I went to pick up the car. I thought, oh, there it is. And I trotted to get in the car.
Yeah.
And honestly, so much pain in my left heel.
Right.
My knee's been killing me all week. And also, you know my broken toe?
Yeah.
I stubbed that whole area of my foot twice this week and basically reawakened that injury. So, you know, the short answer to your question
is, a few excuses piling in.
I feel awful. Yeah, I really thought, and I had a miserable gig last night
over
with this
border.
Woman heckling me for the colour of my suit.
Oh my goodness.
I was like, oh, I can't be bothered with this.
Please.
So, and I thought, I'm not going to bother with this 10K. And I thought, no, Rob, get down there and run it out.
It'll be a nice little run.
Run it out.
10K's 10K's. There's an honesty to it. It's not a long way, but it's a longish race.
See, it's that honesty. I feel like someone really honest is looking me right in the eye. And my temptation is just to sod off.
Yeah. To go home.
I had a stupendous moment of back to bed this morning. It was really,
oh, really?
One of
really?
The great 10 minutes of my life. It was really something. And this is why I know that me and you, we got here a bit later than we wanted. We were working out what's going on, and I kind of think that this run might cheer me up. So I wanted you to catch me in my pre-run misery state.
It's good to be a bit fidgety and miserable before the
race. Something
getting that right headspace.
To feel a certain lack.
Hopefully, something
that we can fix.
10K's, let's face it, for us, it's not. This isn't a fun run, is it? This is a race.
Yeah, we're going to give it some.
It's a kind of set off steady and try and give it something.
And talking of fun runs and races, it's interesting how we're quite near my Shoreditch 10K, and the essential principle is the same: different distances, good people, well looked after, well organised. But it's such a different mood.
Is it really?
I don't know. This is right on the line between old school and kind of Hackney.
Right.
It's hipster, but it's very kind of jolly and friendly, isn't it? It doesn't feel very sort of social networky somehow.
And the good thing about it is as well, there's not that many people. I think there's 1,000 people running totally in all three races combined.
In fact, in terms of experiences I've had, it's a bit like the old Grim Up North Running, but there's more people here for that. It's a lot like the old Crouch End 10K, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a bit like that. How it feels, yeah.
All right, so
it feels good.
Pick up again after the race and do this in under 41? Is that what you said?
Hopefully. If I get anything under 41, it'll be fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
How about you?
Well, last one was 43.
I will get through without punching someone. Get out of my way.
My plan is to run off the course cypher through, go home and cancel tonight's gig.
You find us post-race.
Yeah, we did it.
Post-Victoria 10K. Oh, well done, Alex. Well done.
Oh,
cheers,
thank
bro.
You.
Thanks, man.
Well done. At just the right moment, didn't he?
Well done, Lovely Nigel. Podcast. Well done, Kerry. Well done, Terry. Well done. Well done, Paul. We're here ridiculing the announcer.
Yeah. Well, I'm not.
Such is our level of cynicism. It's a perfectly nice thing to do to cheer everyone up.
Well done.
Isn't it funny to record well done, before Kevin. And after and find ourselves... What are the differences? You know, this is almost the same, except everyone's warmer, basically.
Just chilled out. Yeah, just a lot more chilled out.
Let's get a picture of us next
Father,
to
is that you? I haven't seen you in 20 years.
Dad. Well done, Dad.
You didn't tell me you're entering. What a race. What an experience.
We went down to the start. It's very brilliantly organised, isn't it? The way it all set off completely on time. They were very cool. What they did was, it was quite kind of action movie. They didn't try and get anything done until moments before it needed to be
done. Absolutely. Yeah, the last couple of minutes, they just filed
5 minutes,
in, didn't
they? So we need the people who want to do it.
Sub 38 runners, 40, not many, 41, sub 40, 42. 42 yeah.
And of course, the other thing is because there weren't that many of us. So you were ahead of me in the start pen, but only like
but not lot.
10
not
feet
a lot.
Ahead of me.
There was only about 300 runners for the 10K, which now, is perfect, really.
Yeah, the counterpoint to that was once you start running, you get tangled up with all the other distances. But even that, not in a bad way, more in a way that makes it interesting. Quite inspiring because you get to share the day.
We set off behind them, didn't we? The
5K.
It was quite nice because you just got to overtake people all the time, and that is quite nice. But then you've got a slightly changed direction.
Yeah, sometimes you go to overtake someone. It's a bit like when someone's driving on the road really slow, and you're like, whoa!
And you've got to resist the temptation. Get out of my way!
Yeah, that's not right.
And whether to go for the little gap between them or veer to the right. Do you know what I mean? There's a certain decision-making thing, but I think it helps you... to be psychologically to be continually passing people.
Yes,
I think that's
right.
A really
absolutely.
Good thing.
Absolutely. I mean, jumping ahead here, but towards the end, though, I'd kind of thought I'm going to really try and push for a finish after the last bend. And you know, as you know, the last bend quite far out.
Yeah.
So we're talking like the last K rather than the last couple of hundred meters. And I thought, start overtaking. Not just overtake anyone. You say, some of those people you would have overtaken even if you were radically slowing down.
Yes.
But
yeah.
just to loosen up into it and think of the other people in the race as people that you're passing.
So that's the end.
It was great. Victoria Pratt, so it's still absolutely... I love these weather conditions.
It's really nice. Yeah, it's kind of cold, but not too cold.
The leaves are still on the trees are beautiful. It's going to be a short day, isn't it? I mean, it's going to get dark in about 2 hours. But
it feels
right
like
now...
And it's one of those...
I'm just going to get a last shot of this great scene.
Because have you raced it before? I've raced here a few times.
Yeah, you've raced it before. I have not.
It's got so many nice things. Victoria Park, East London, got so many nice, long, flat stretches. You can really get your rhythm on, which is nice.
Do you remember we came here in one of the first ever episodes? That's when I found out that it was they had a massive gun emplacement here during the Second World War. Huge anti-aircraft guns taking place, like no park.
Right.
It was just full of big, huge guns for taking down planes. Wow. And these seats over here, it used to be.
I remember
you
saying this, talking about the seats. Yeah.
Anyway, the run, right? So it's quite a nice course because it had a start and a finish, didn't it? So you go in a line, turn right, then three laps.
Start and finish at the same place.
And then turn back in.
Yeah.
So tell us about your race.
Well, I was feeling a little bit tired beforehand. I've had a bit of drink in midweek, I must say. Wednesday, Thursday, I surrendered to the bottle.
Because you only ever drink on Sunday, Wednesday,
Thursday. Yeah, because I'm back to just... Because I only drink on Sundays now.
Yeah. We went to
the good old Blooming Theatre on Thursday to see Death
of Saints. Oh, yes, you saw Death of
Saints. Splendid production.
Brought the house down.
Too
soon?
Yeah. It was actually... It was incredible.
Yeah.
But... So it's hard
it's
not
Wendell
to drink.
Wendell Pierce, isn't it?
Wendell Pierce, Bunk from The Wire. It's hard not to... It's hard not to drink at the theatre, isn't it?
We just did that thing, didn't we, where we crossed...
No, but we crossed quickly.
Yes, we did. But and also showed apology, but never like... Yeah, you don't want anyone crossing, do you, really? We can go that way. Just get pictures.
Yeah, okay. And I set off... I was doing about 6:20s for the first few miles. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it. I had a good run. I finished in 40 minutes and 30 seconds.
Okay.
So that's good. I thought I might get under 40, but I'm just not quite... fit enough for that. I'm pleased with that on the training I've done.
Yes.
And it did feel like I was properly sort of running a bit, sort of longer strides and a bit looser. I don't know, I've noticed sort of more during training really, down at the club, that the people who run quick, they seem to run a bit more whole body than a kind of scuttly. Do you know what I mean? I tend to devolve into a kind of low scuttle, which is economical, but not that fast.
It's like you're holding something off, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So I tried to stretch a bit today beforehand and just run a bit looser.
Yeah, you put some time into the stretching. Body. That was very sensible, particularly as it's cold. It's funny, you just saying whole body, it's a strange reference, but you immediately made me think of someone I saw on telly yesterday, Fred Astaire.
Right.
Think how when he dances.
Yes,
And also, I think any superstar, really, if you look at Richard Pryor or Elvis.
Or
Fred Astaire or Marilyn Monroe, everything all the time. Whole body, head to toe.
Yes, absolutely.
You see it in their eyes and you see it to the end of their fingers.
Yeah.
And it's running like that, isn't it?
Yeah, it sort of seems to be, doesn't it? You see the really fast ones. But it's my natural tendency to low economic scuttle, energy retention kind of. But I don't know, I'm just trying to loosen up a little bit. Yeah, but that's going to need take a lot of training.
From outside, you know, as an observer, and not even as a theoretical observer, not from seeing you running, but just from knowing that you're good at running and seeing you as a person. Think of you as being kind of long and limber and having the dancer's thread pulling up the top of your head.
Right.
And the rest of you just kind of, you know.
Yeah, flapping around.
I mean, when you're being stupid, you always run like that, don't
you? Yes,
Like a marionette.
Yeah. So I was pleased. I wasn't that competitive, really. I got overtaken in the last mile or so by a couple of people. I wasn't that as strong mentally as I'd like to be.
So you didn't go off and you just shouted at them?
Yeah. I swore at a cyclist.
Well, I mean, that's cheating, isn't it?
It was going around the last corner, really knackered. She just kind of mows it. There's a lot of people on channel saying, careful of the runners, careful of the runners.
Good marshalling.
And she just, brilliant marshalling. And she just kind of looked at them while cycling into the runners on the last corner.
It's
I was like, what the... You doing?
Yeah, we're having
a
couple. Oh, you said that, did you?
I said, what you doing?
Oh, I had a young couple, and with hundreds of people running past them. And as I got to them, and they were kind of like wide, like right in the little path line of sort of spread. And then they turn around and look like, where have all these people come from? It's like, there's no way I'm the first person to overtake you.
You're not aware.
It's like a lie. These people are in the middle of a lie. This skip, just around the corner up there was quite a troublesome skip.
So I think I'm part there.
So just going back to your mile by mile, you started off in the 6:20s. How did your pacing work in terms of the three laps? How did it feel?
Well, it felt fine. I did 6:20s for the first few miles, and then I slowed to about 6:35s. Mm-hmm. And I just
sped back up at the end, or just come in?
Just kind of held it, really. I was just that thing of like trying to push hard into the fifth mile, knowing you've got a mile to go and you should be okay, sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I tried to keep it fairly even. I like the three lap thing. How about you? How did you find it?
Yeah, I think three laps is good. I mean, I think the funny, I was kind of wryly saying it to myself.
Because it's three laps and a sprint at the end, basically.
Yes, which is very good, because it's not nothing that sprint at the end, but there's no way you can have the finish in your sights. It's probably less than... How long would you say the end is? About 300 metres?
I was just about to say that. Yeah, about 300 metres. Yeah.
And, the laps, it's just made it like a park run, but the hollow laugh in my head was, God, it's like, if you think of it like a park run, it's like, this park run's really hard. feels twice as long as usual.
Because
it totally was. But I use that. I mean, I was thinking in a funny kind of way, when you're running a distance, it does get easier over time, purely psychologically, because you're closer to the end.
Yes.
Physically, of course it's harder, because you're running for longer and everything, but you've always got less distance to go.
Yeah, the great thing about that I love about 10K is that you do 1.5 miles and
I got so confused.
You do 1.5 miles and you're quarter of the way around.
Yeah, that's right.
Do you know what I mean? It's not a long race.
No,
you know,
that's
but
right.
At the same time, it's hard to push that long. But if you chunk it down to quarters, like I often do, 1.5 miles in, you're a little bit tired and sort of fresh in your legs, but you are a quarter of the way through the entire thing. You know,
because that also works. Even in a marathon, those fractions work.
Yeah.
You know, it's in a marathon you turn around after 3 miles and say, well, I've done more than a tenth of it.
Yes.
You know, and that's not nothing.
No, it's not. No,
and
it's
in
not.
This race, I mean, I felt it, down. You know, I found it quite hard, but not really starting because I was grumpy, but also because I was going pretty hard.
Yeah.
And so I didn't find it, I found it hard in a good way.
Right.
Like, good, I'm giving this some.
Not in a,
I can't handle this.
Yeah, I was a little bit tired at the start just with...
Oh, no, you're tangled. Oh. Let's work on this together, otherwise we're going to lose this.
There we go, through there.
And if you and if I just no.
And then
if you just and if I can if
so
we just
difficult
if
I can just oh. Thing.
Yeah, give me that.
Okay, cheers. We're doing a record and drive, a post match record and drive.
Yeah, enjoy the break from us panting, basically.
Yeah.
Because we've been panting.
This is a. It's just one of the things we do. Every now and again, we like to just throw in a feature.
Yeah. I was just saying that the I set off right at the beginning.
Yeah.
It was quite good. I felt similar to you in that I felt the. I've got quite limber. I think maybe it's the cold.
Yeah.
I just felt sort of long. I felt a nice start. I think the main thing was that my body is used to running fast.
Right.
I'm used to doing quite tasty midweek runs. I've been doing quite a lot of park runs. So absolutely, in spite of where I was psychologically and physically.
Yeah.
Just when I started running, my body just said, oh, we're running, are we? And I just had to catch up with it. You know what I mean?
Right.
I was just kind of going, oh, okay. And I thought, oh, well, that's going to turn out to be. I felt tall. I felt quite long and limsy. And then the first lap, you know, it's easily long enough for you to feel your pace.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because
yeah,
what I mean, the first lap is 2 miles, right?
Yeah.
And then, the key thing for me was that, as we were saying in recent episodes, is that the second lap is the hard lap, not the third lap.
Yeah, absolutely. Just maintaining
my whole experience.
Maintaining pace, yeah. Just that psychological desire to switch off between like 3 and 5, you know.
Yeah.
That's when you win or lose your race, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Because once you get into the third lap, even though you've got a big percentage of the race, you just know you're on the way home.
Yes, yeah.
And and I found, as we were saying, the absolute mix. I think, again, we predicted this quite well. The mix of the focus, because it's quite a simple, easy-to-follow course, and there's other people that you're definitely doing the same event as.
Yeah.
And changing it up. It's quite an interesting lap.
Yeah.
And there was lots of people doing different things.
Yes. Yeah,
It kind of had colour. You could basically shift between the colour and the focus, depending on what you needed from the run.
And yeah, you're always in mind of the people you're racing against whilst running amongst loads of other people. It's quite nice, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It was a really nice, very lightly worn event. You know,
they didn't
make any fuss, and yet I felt I really trusted the event. I knew I was going to know where to go, and yet it also felt you could kind of roll up, do it, and stride off.
Yeah, there's no drama. To me, it's sort of like it's a really nice size of an event, isn't it? Like you've got 1,000 people there doing three different races, and ours at about 300. That's perfect, really.
Yeah, and I also think in the era of parkrun, the absolute value of an event like this is all the different things going on.
Yeah,
I mean, it is interesting to turn up something like that and think that you could get. There are plenty of parkruns today that will have had more people there.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
doing the parkrun.
Yeah.
But it's an entirely different thing. Mm. You wouldn't want to do that every week. It's something you kind of work towards.
No, it's
and in a way, if I was working towards, if 5K was my distance, but it wasn't something I was sort of fit enough or was in my. You know, if you're the kind of person who thinks I'm going to work and work and work and then do a 5K, then you might want to sign up to an event and really make a feature of it and get a medal.
Yeah.
I think, they just serve different purposes, don't they?
Yeah.
Maybe there's a park on a Victoria Park at the
half,
other
I'm sure the half marathon would be nice around there. But
yeah.
I don't know if I fancy half marathon around there. I might get a bit bored.
Maybe. I was going to say, maybe. Just a bit lapsy. I think that I find it quite harsh.
But it's one of those, if you want a PB and you're really focused, you'd be advised to get down there, you know.
Yeah, exactly. If you've got the kind of pace. I mean,
half
marathons, apart from fitness, just time-wise, they're right on the line. You know, if your half marathon PB is you're going for 2:15, then you don't want to do it going round and round a park.
Yeah.
But if you're going for 1:20,
then
it's going to feel not that different to us doing a 10K. You know,
might work out. Yeah.
So I think that depends. But it definitely a nice event. It was a run through event, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So recommended from that point of view because I have a bunch of events.
Yeah.
And.
Nice. And what have you done since we had a run? We did the Windsor Park, didn't we? Have you done a decent this week? Have you been doing much?
Well, I wanted to run on. My plan was to run on Wednesday, and I couldn't because we had a bit of a emergency. Is too strong a word, but something came up.
Okay.
And then so I ran on Thursday.
Right.
And I haven't had a great week. You know, it's been a bit kind of blur life-wise. And yeah, my knee's really hurting, and I did really hurt my toe. My toe's going to hurt later from this running because it is kind of injured.
Right.
And I was just a bit gutted about it as well. You know, when you do old injuries and stuff.
Yeah.
Like,
here we go again. Yeah.
And then the thing about running is it really abides. I really enjoyed the... And I suppose someone got in touch in there a little while ago saying, what do you do when you lose your running mojo?
Yeah.
And the answer has to be keep on running.
Yeah.
You know? I found it so easy to consider, really unusually for me, to consider not running this week.
Right, okay.
You know, even today and last night, just thinking, I'm not going to bother, not going to do that 10K.
Right. It can not make sense till you do it sometimes.
That's right, and that's exactly what Thursday was like, you know. Yeah. And another level, I'm not that guy, you know. I sort of thought, well, I've got to go for a run, so I'm going for a run.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to. And I went out. It was a beautiful run. And got quite a long run. Ran like 8 miles.
Right.
And out to Hackney Marshes and Springfield Park and that.
Nice, nice.
And honestly, so good for the soul. It was nice out there.
Yeah.
I reminded myself I'm fit. Yes. And just, I think, almost directly related to all my woes was the fact that I stopped thinking about them completely and just had kind of left brain.
Nice.
Had all these kind of ideas.
Yes.
You know, it was like a mogul in a meeting.
What if
we were to invite 100 people to these things? You know, I got a business idea. Take a note.
Yeah, no, that's not... That's running can really do that. Yeah. It can really give you rest.
And then tumbled straight back into misery when I got home.
Yeah, but at least it gives you that window,
doesn't it? Just had a little break from it.
I did club training on Tuesday, where I thought I'd kind of twinge my hamstring a bit, but it didn't pull it, but I definitely felt a twinge.
Yeah.
And then Wednesday I did about 7 mile run off Thursday and then a little run yesterday. So quite a decent week, but a lot of travel yesterday and just tending this hamstring.
Yeah,
just aware that it could go. So if anything, it's better for me because I have to stretch.
How are you feeling at your hamstring?
Feels fine. I felt a little bit during the race, but nothing too bad. Just a little ache. I just need to be aware of it, really. And just ramp my stretching up. But yeah, it is that thing of... Just try to stretch out and run more. Just run a bit looser and freer and more.
Yeah, yeah.
More sort of competitive, really. Just sort of from the off, just looking like you're racing.
Yes.
As opposed to looking like you're trying to get somewhere in a hurry without trying very hard. It's a subtle difference.
And the other thing about that looseness is looking like you're racing, but knowing that you're going to be running for a bit of time.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
It's kind of yogic.
It's having confidence in your fitness that you can sustain that bounce, isn't it? Because
people bounce past
you. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, wow.
Well, that's notable, isn't it? There's a bit of a useful note to be taken from grumpiness. Is when people sail past you, and let's face it, unless you're Kipchoge, at whatever speed you run at, someone has sailed past you.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Often with a pushchair.
And
like you say, they always look bouncy. They always look like it's not even a trouble.
Yeah. They've just got that. And often that's youth. It's rare to get for the elderly to bounce.
I don't think you should call yourself elderly.
But I just
go on then.
I just noticed at a club that the older runners, still quite fit people, they just ran a bit differently. But the faster, there's a few faster older ones as well. Mm. Just a bit looser and kind of, yeah.
Conversely, in this run, one of the people who was... The thing is, if you get falling with people doing the same speed as you, I've just realised the logic of this, and I'm really relieved because I'm so down on myself when I'm running. And you fall in with people going about the same speed as you, they all finish in front of you, don't they?
Because
you don't watch any of the people running behind you.
Tend to, yeah. Tend
so there was one guy, and he really was running... Actually, no, to be fair, he must have finished pretty darn well because I don't think I saw him at the finish.
Yeah.
But I was just behind him I established early on he was going faster than me.
Right.
But he was going hardly any faster than me.
Right, okay.
So he was in front of me and gradually getting away, you know, right through the middle, from sort of two to eight or whatever. On kilometres rather than miles. Now.
Yeah, yeah.
And the reason I mention him is because he had quite tight, high-up shoulders like me.
Right.
And I thought, good for you, mate. That's probably what I look like. Yeah. And you look, considering, because I'm not down on you, you look all right.
Yeah.
Although the other thing he was doing, I looked at this guy quite a lot. It's getting a bit stalky, isn't it? But what do you think of running in a hat? I don't think I would ever run in a hat. And I was really cold this morning.
I would never run in a hat. I had this. This reminds me of the guy at Park Run last week. He was wearing you know, those leather, fur-lined, almost sort of like flying hats, floppy-eared hats.
Oh, wow, yeah, like a tank commander.
Yeah, he was running one of those, and he beat me. He beat me. He was such a young...
I've got one word for you.
Loser.
Elderly.
Yeah, this floppy-eared kind of goofus hipster, happily lolloping along ahead of me in this fur-lined leather... Talk about salt into injury.
I was thinking of, and also just thinking of all you listeners. So many running commentary listeners who don't only not live in London, but just don't live anywhere near Hackney or anywhere that hipster in the in any sense, even the most sort of philosophical sense. Yeah, just thinking, what's this? Who runs in that?
Smoking a cheroot.
Did you see the... You must have overtaken the barefoot guy near the end.
I did overtake the barefoot guy, yeah. I heard him chatting to another guy saying how he suffering from knee injuries.
You want to get some trainers, mate.
Yeah, you want to get some trainers. That's what caused that, you idiot. It's not rocket science, is it? You need some cushioning. He was pattering away. I mean, it obviously works for some people. It feels a bit weird. But
yeah, particularly as it's mid-November. You know, it took me a while to work out his barefoot running because he was basically, by the time I saw him, he was wearing leaf and dog poo soles.
Yeah, there's a guy with...
He's that guy's either running barefoot or his shoes are disgusting.
There was a guy barefoot at the theatre the other night. This Hare Krishna guy just turned the bare feet. So... That was a challenge.
Yeah, I've heard of barefoot runners, barefoot theatre goers.
Yeah, he's crazy. Howard Jacobson was also there as well. Actually, I should have congratulated him on his novel, on his writing. But yeah, barefoot running. I can't.
Well, let's get back to Death of a Salesman because you said it was amazing.
Just a brilliant production, and I very rarely go to the theatre, but it was standing ovation time. It was like at the end you had to, and it looked like this feels a bit sort of amateur hour review, doesn't it? But it looked like the actors were physically moved by the performance themselves.
Yeah,
there was something
really
about
feeling it.
Or at least the sense that they knew they were part of something special. They looked moved. What can I say? It was a proper tragedy.
I was going to say, because it's deeply, you know, it's a kind of old school tragedy. It's something inevitable about the whole deal.
Yeah, absolutely.
The man taken down.
Everyone's at the end. The actors are crying on stage. It's proper like there's no respite here. There's no. It's just like.
But also, you saying about how it felt like a moment, and you felt them feeling it. That I think that's a sign of a good show.
Yeah.
I'm reminded of when me and Julia went to see Matthew Bourne's Edward Scissorhands.
All right, okay.
And we saw it on a Tuesday, Sadler's Wells, when it still had a few weeks to run.
Yeah.
And yet, you would have sworn, if someone had dropped you in there and you had amnesia or whatever, you'd have sworn it was the last night.
Right.
Because the sense of event.
Amazing, isn't
you
it?
You know, it was like, this is the show. This time we do it tonight, this is it.
Yeah.
And everyone's going home going, that was the one. We've peaked.
That's a great...
It's peaking every day, isn't
it?
Yeah,
that's fantastic, yeah.
Mind you, I wonder, I alluded cheekily to it, but they did have a bit of a moment the other day on Death of a Salesman, didn't they? Because that's where the ceiling fell down.
Yes, it did, yeah. It did fall down.
So,
yeah, a little bit fell down.
But when you stood, did your standing ovation, did you jump up and down?
we were on the very front row, actually, because my mate got tickets because his firm made the set, so he got free tickets, so we sat right at the front, which was interesting,
actually.
It was really nice.
Just so connected.
So connected, yeah. Massively connected. Yeah. And that was really good fun. We polished off a bottle of wine between three of us in the 15 minutes before show started, and then and then another one in the interval.
It's another thing that can make a show feel really special.
Yeah, meanwhile, my mate had like three double gin and tonics throughout the evening. It was proper... proper theatre, sozzle, tallow,
right.
Darling.
Well, that twice in my life, me and Julia have been out and we've gone, oh, we'd better get two drinks because we won't get a chance to get another one. And then you just drink two drinks like that. Once at a comedy benefit of the Union Chapel.
Right.
Where we went from having the most amazing time to leaving long before the end.
Yeah.
Basically, turning life into a roller coaster. And I don't think it's what Ronan Keating meant. I can't imagine him doing that.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
There's something great about going to the theatre. That sort of air of tension about getting your drinks in, and the toilets are really cramped, and that rush for the start, but we know it's going to start a little bit late, and do you know, just the whole thing about it.
Absolutely.
It is good fun, I must say.
My son went to a concert at the Barbican the other day.
Right.
And I love the Barbican.
Yeah.
And we went there to meet him and got there a quarter of an hour early and went to the martini bar.
Right,
we didn't even have to go to the show.
Right.
Just went to the Barbican and drank martinis.
Yeah, that's nice. Good fun.
Yeah. Just people watched. Going back to exercise, the other thing that happened to me this week, and it was a big deal, and it was like a blooming metaphor, is my press-up machine broke.
I saw that on Facebook, So what happened there, then?
Well, you know what it is. It's a handle
rotational.
on a disc.
Right.
So it really does improve the old press-ups.
Yeah.
And it also unclips and folds flat, so I take it away to hotels and things
right.
like that. And just really rely on them, you know, and they do improve. You know, I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Oh God, he's overtaking a car turning right,
overtaking on the inside.
Oh,
incredible!
God, that was exciting. It was like synchronized swimming, only with proper much more likelihood of a car crash.
Ridiculous driving.
Yeah,
but sort of admirable.
I love these things, and then rely on them, and they make your press up simultaneously more difficult and
More effective,
yeah. Exactly. So you can feel them, but they're guided into doing them well.
Right.
And I do loads.
You do.
And I tried
loads.
It.
It's so good for
as
you.
As soon as it broke, I mean, it's cracked. It wasn't a massive surprise when it broke.
Right.
But it was in the moment, it was a massive surprise because I literally fell off.
Right.
Because the handle is in the disc.
Yeah.
And it just snapped out of the disc. So suddenly I fell from about 4 inches up.
Wow.
I felt like my hand went like through the press up thing and grazed itself all up on it, and then I hit the ground knee first on the right, and it was just the same, you know, it was like the same as if you fell down walking down the street, but just me in the middle of my living room floor. So, and then you were a bit shaken up. I thought, well, that's it, I'm not doing the rest of my exercises. And I sat for a minute, felt better.
Yeah.
And I went back to them and I did normal press ups like without the handles.
Right.
Can I help you?
No, it's fine.
He's got something.
That's fine. No.
Just a blower.
I was just checking that and lost it, to be honest.
And, and I did it with the hands on the floor.
Yeah.
Which, of course, for many a generation, there's a perfectly good press up. And I'm fit enough to do them theoretically, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I felt wrong.
Right.
It made me feel queasy.
Yeah.
And I don't know to what extent that's psychological and to what extent it is that from going to doing it exactly right to doing it slightly wrong.
So
loads of little muscles are going, ooh, why are you using me?
Just a little bit different. Yeah.
But honestly, it felt like having a raw nerve.
Right.
You know, it's like, well, I can do these, but ooh. So I had to stop in the end. And that's, I don't quite know what to do myself. Because I mean,
they obviously serve you well. I mean, they're obviously, press ups are great for
you. I do 12 times 30 three times a week.
Wow, that's amazing.
So that's over 1,000.
That's wild, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty wild.
And so I've hinted hard for a new set for my birthday.
Right.
And then I came up with the idea. I thought, well, what I'll do between now and my birthday is I'll get into chin-ups. So I did three of those.
What, off what?
Off my, there's a gate above my front door.
Right, okay, nice.
Honestly, it hurts so much. Just yeah, the back really ache, my ribs. And yeah. As I say, I did three.
Three's good, man. Three's good. Yeah. Chin-ups are difficult.
And that's three. I'm going to stay with that. Three every fortnight.
Yeah.
That's my new regimen. So
proper snarled up Hackney traffic, isn't it?
I was a bit scared in the 10K.
Yeah.
That I thought that man had dropped an umbrella, but it's the lid of a barbecue. It was a bit surreal. I was a bit scared that I wouldn't that my timing chip wouldn't work, because the last time I used one of these soft loop through the lace timing chips was that half marathon in the Grand Prix circuit.
Right.
And I never got my time.
Out. Yeah. Yeah.
But this one looks okay, so we'll see.
So we don't know your time.
Are they going to text us? Are they going to phone us? I want one, because we're not running, so I can actually look at... No, they haven't.
I did my own... I sort of did my own time. I took it upon myself to time myself. So I'm gonna,
yeah,
I'm
and that way, the good thing about that is you can make
you clock
it...
You yourself when you go over.
And you can make it shorter, can't you?
Yes.
You can say I did it in 38.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Yeah, you can press it when you go past
you
the first
You only did
kilometer.
Two laps.
People are bailing. There's Did you find that on the way here? These lights here.
No, I didn't come this way.
You didn't drive this way. I've come the wrong way, haven't I?
No, this is the right way. Yeah. I came from a different place. I didn't come from my house because I went down to the station. Oh. But there were no trains today. Travel's up the spout really badly this weekend, actually.
This looks a right mess. Yeah.
But so listen, let's sum up and wrap up, because we don't have to. Our listeners shouldn't have to listen through this.
In conclusion. I'm pleased with my 40:30. It's about a minute and 10, a minute and 15 faster than the Scarborough 10K, which isn't that long ago.
Mm. That's a significant margin.
Yeah, yeah. I've put like 2:20:15 5Ks together. Mm. I feel I'm going in the right direction, because I'm still only doing like 25 miles a week. So if I can ramp that up a little bit, I think I'm going to get back to something like the old days.
Yeah, but again, you know, if these are the distances we're talking about, 5Ks and 10Ks, 25 miles a week is great with some pace in there.
Yeah, 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 totally. But it's like, if I was doing like 40 miles a week, you'd just be naturally faster. It's just a kind of, just that fitness thing. But I'm just pleased that I'm starting to engage in running.
Yeah, I mean, my legs, right now, my legs are saying, you know, sometimes saying, take a break from running.
Yeah, but you've done like three marathons this year, haven't you?
Yeah, that's
right. Have you done three this year?
Yeah.
Yeah, you've run a lot more than me this year.
Yeah, and got the miles up, but I would say that before looking at the tail off in Yorkshire, I'd like to have done slightly higher mileage in September, maybe.
Yeah,
but
it's hard when you do two marathons quite close.
And yeah, and they do, you know, and I'm hurting, which is, and that stuff gets worse. They sound contradictory, but it's separate things, isn't it? Your pacing and your machine can love miles, love mixing up the pace, mixing up the distances, and then you're kind of the periphery, your knees and your feet, your shoes,
your
running clothes.
Yeah,
they all kind of go, oh, take a break, mate.
Yes, you need to look after yourself if you're in pain all the time, because is your knee started hurting when you're not running?
Very badly, yeah.
Yeah.
It's when I sit with it bent. I was on the train last night going, ow, knowing that the 10K was a few hours away. And here's me sitting. Well, it's okay. As long as I don't do too much sitting.
Yeah,
but then
pain.
The other thing about this week, which is lovely, a real yin and yang, yin and yang, the two sides of running.
Yes, is fast and slow.
Is that it seems to me that you feel quite positive about the running. And went out today and had a good one and ran a good pace. And I feel quite negative about running and life. And yet, actually, we've both spent the week. We've had a few drinks. We've both done about 25 miles.
Yeah,
we've both done about
really
the
nice.
Time we wanted to do.
It's
so
been,
really,
it's
what
it's
we think
really
about
nice.
It doesn't really count.
Yeah, it's just that's a great thing about it, isn't it? It's so easy to overthink it, isn't it? It's just going for a run, isn't it?
Yeah.
For goodness sake.
And finally, and really lovely different things going on, and good to do a 10K and good to do an event. But next week, it's park run time again. Are you around for next Saturday's park run?
Next Saturday's park run? I think so, yes.
We're talking Saturday the 23rd. This is
your big 50, is it?
I'm going to go 50.
This is your big 50. Okay, that'll be good. I've got a weekend coming up at the Comedy Store, but I will be there. I might be a little bit bedraggled.
Yeah, I mean, if you can't do it, you can't do it.
I might
take
my
right.
tambourine. Did you notice the tambourines today?
Yeah. A lot of tambourines.
How do you feel about that? The tambourines.
I had headphones.
people were jangling tambourines
for me,
to encourage you.
I could hear. Just you using that sentence. So you want to see? You don't know me very well. It's interesting though, isn't it? Because like you were joking about the cynicism, because we were in that demographic. We were on the older side.
Yeah, of course.
We weren't the only people our age, but that was a millennial 10K.
Yeah, 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 yeah. It was nice. I don't know whether I quite need tambourines. I'm not sure. Is that a selling point, tambourines?
For some people it is, Paul. For some people it is.
Tambourines and a panpipe at the thing.
Put it this way. As I was playing, because I was listening to the parkrun felt... It's becoming a bit of a theme with me trying to use parkrun thinking to do a 10K.
Yeah.
And okay. there are pros and cons to this tactic. Mm. But one of them is I used my parkrun playlist today.
Right.
Which is long enough to go 45 minutes with surprises and everything. And yes, at no point did I switch off Underworld to listen to a tambourine. That didn't happen. Hey, we're going through the roadworks. It's gonna pick up.
Yeah, but we need to wait through. We need to wait for this fella. Come on, man.
Oh my goodness.
That's, come on.
I'm not going to read out what it says in the ambulance, but that is emotionally manipulative. I'll tell you that much.
And cats as well.
Yeah. Oh God. And now this is that same guy. Now we know why the person did the overtaking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Anyway, so come to my 50th parkrun at Hackney Marshes.
Get your floppy hats on.
November the 23rd. Bring your tambourines.
Bring your tambourines.
When I hear a tambourine, you know what I need? I need more cowbell. I got a feeling, and the feeling is, I got a fever, and the cure
is... It's
actually
ironic, because I was listening to him last night, coming back from Stoke, actually, old Bob Dylan. I just put him on, so it kind of...
I thought you were listening to Christopher Walken coming back from Stoke. I'm not a recording artist.
What film is that from?
The More Cowbell. It's a sketch.
Oh, okay.
You haven't seen it?
I might have.
Right,
send somebody
online listening to this right now. Send a link to the More Cowbell sketch for Paul because he's got a treat in store. Okay, well, I'll tell this story. I was in I was doing the Stand Edinburgh for the weekend.
Yeah.
And I've got an old friend, comedian Joe Heenan. If you follow him,
yeah, lovely fellow. Yeah,
and so funny online, good on Twitter. And I know he got me my first ever gig. He's a real old comedy compadre of mine.
Right.
But this weekend I was on with him I wasn't on with him in Edinburgh. Right. He wasn't on, right?
Okay.
We did the first gig. The lineup was there. Everyone said hello to each other, did what you do on a Thursday night.
Yeah.
Friday night, I arrived to the gig.
Yeah.
Joe Heenan, who wasn't on, walks in the door.
Yeah.
Later on, jumping ahead, we find out that the compere has had an incident and is out of the running for the weekend.
Right.
And Joe Heenan's replaced him.
Okay, cool.
I don't know this.
BD? Was it BD?
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
So, Joe Heenan walks in. He didn't say hello.
Right.
Let alone, hi, I wasn't here yesterday. I'm the compere now. He walked into the dressing room where the other three of us were sitting, got a miniature TV out.
Yeah.
I mean, who has one? Yeah. This was before phones and iPads. Miniature TV. Put it on the table, press play.
Right.
And played us the Will Ferrell, Christopher Walken cowbell sketch.
Yeah, 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 nice. Which I think I have seen, actually. I think I know what you're on about.
And now. Just straight off the bat. Without any preamble. And that is how to see a good sketch.
Yeah, absolutely,
I mean, ultimately, thank goodness, before the internet, thank goodness we had Joe.
Yes.
To introduce us to things like that. So here's to more cowbell and running events. Different distances. I coming today. I don't do a half marathon. You know, I noticed up ahead two mice. Oh, fell in the jug of milk. One drowned. It's a terrible Chris Walken impression.
It's not bad.
It's not bad. I'm trying it.
It's
trying
not
it
bad.
Out. Get in touch if you've got a Chris Walken impression. Get in touch.
Yeah. This watch up my ass.
Comfortable. Hunk of metal. Hitting his ass. It's two running comedians. They're not running there in a car.
Seem to be embarking on some kind of misconstrued Christopher Walken impression.
Some mismatch. Cup partnership.
Pulp Fiction, Will Ferrell mashup.
2 days to retirement. Got stuck with this guy from...
wasn't even Pulp Fiction. It's True Romance. True Romance, wasn't it?
He's in both films. Pulp Fiction is the watch story.
Is it?
Yes.
All right, okay.
In True Romance, he plays the guy...
Yeah,
yes,
I love it in
Dennis
True Romance.
Hopper.
With Shakespeare with Hopper, where he kills him.
This guy. Oh, all right, plot spoil. I haven't shot him, buddy, since 1984.
Love Christopher Walken, yeah.
Oh, so get in touch if you're Christopher Walken.
Yeah, guys... fan of the show.
Big fan of the show. Thank you, Marshall. Can't believe you got Paul's phone back that time. Timing chip in his ass. Okay. See you on Hackney Marshes. Thank you, Run Through UK. Well done to anyone who did any events today. Yeah. Keep us posted on all your running. And
enjoy your running.
We'll see you online.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.